Well, good morning, everyone. Am I on? You guys hear me? I don't hear me. Oh, there we go. Okay, now I'm on. Okay, thank you. Very good. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our session on migration from Configuration Manager 2007 to 2012. Congratulations, you guys have successfully navigated through half of your TechEd experience this week. Hopefully you had a great time and you enjoyed the party last night. My name is Wally Mead. I'm a program manager on the product team. Been around for a long time, and I've been doing a lot of configuration manager and SMS stuff with Microsoft, so I'll be helping you in your presentation today. And to help lead you through this experience of migration is my cohort in crime.
I'm John Vinsel. I'm a senior program manager on the configuration manager team. I'm here to present with Wally and hopefully take you through a topic that doesn't seem as long as the title on the slides are. So today we're just going to talk about some different things here. We're going to talk about, you know, the background on migration and why we decided to implement the functionality of the migration versus, you know, the upgrades we've had in the past. We're going to go through the kind of an overview of the migration process, how we're going to configure it, how we're going to do different object migrations. We're going to talk about this concept called shared distribution points. It's a way so you can leverage some content as you're doing this, and we'll go into a lot of detail on how we can take advantage of content that's already existing in your infrastructure later in the deck. We're going to talk about migrating distribution points, and then we're going to wrap it all up with some best practices that we've learned, you know, throughout beta 1, beta 2, and as we've been developing this migration feature set, and the changes in behaviors that you can implement now that'll make it really easy for you guys to do migration. Okay, so we want to level set with some terminology here, just so as we keep using terms throughout this session, you'll know what we're talking about. So when we say content, we're talking about the package binaries and the files. So think of this as your Office installation package, you know, the MSI, the XE, the DLLs, that's all going to be referred to as content. When we talk about objects, objects are your metadata, your things like your packages, your configuration items, software deployments, OS images, you know, all the things you go and configure and deploy in Configuration Manager. Server settings, site roles and site properties, and then client information, you know, the GUID, this inventory state, all the information that the client sends up. So kind of keep track of those terms. We're going to use those a lot throughout the presentation. Okay, so how did customers migrate to Configuration Manager 2007? Various different ways we've seen customers do a migration from SMS 2003 to 2007. A lot of them, when we talked to them, actually did side-by-sides, which wasn't really easy with the existing tool sets we had. From going from SMS 2003 to Configuration Manager 2007, we really spent a lot of time and investment in the upgrade process. Well, when we found out customers were doing more side-by-side deployments, we kind of reevaluated that. As we talked to customers with side-by-side deployments, we realized that they had to rely on a lot of scripts or, you know, MCS tools. MCS is like our Microsoft consulting services. But it wasn't just limited to our Microsoft consultants anywhere. So there's a various different tools downloaded off the internet, worked with peers, things like that. They had to go develop on your own to achieve these types of things. And then afterwards, you had to go and you had to reassign everything when you were doing the upgrading. So, you know, lots of work when you were kind of doing that side by side. We didn't really make it very, very easy. Again, we had optimized a lot for that in-place upgrade, but customers really wanted to do, like I said, a side by side. The other advantage the side by side offered for you was there was a chance to clean up. You know, you had a lot of stuff, you know, for the 5 or 7 years of deployments, and this offers a chance to clean and prune. Additionally, when we talked to customers, we also learned that this is a great time to take advantage of your server refresh. It's like, I got a big project, I'm going to go upgrade my management infrastructure. Well, that server's 5 years old. Right now is a good time to replace it, put a new operating system on it, you know, maybe change out SQL, and then just do an, you know, all-up upgrade of not just the management infrastructure or the tool, but the entire infrastructure, you know. So lots of different reasons going on there. And then as we looked at, like, you know, doing the side-by-side, we wanted to make sure that everything got regenerated and preserved. So when we were using these tools and things that were not native in the box, things got lost along the way. So lots of feedback from customers saying, go with side-by-side. That's our preferred method. And that's kind of the approach that we're taking with Configuration Manager 2012. So if you guys have attended any of our sessions this week, you've seen a lot around the promises that we're offering with Configuration Manager 2012. And hopefully you're really buying into what we're promising you guys, and you're seeing the user empowerment, you're seeing the simplified administration. If you went to our deployment overview session yesterday, you would have saw the simplifications that we've done in the infrastructure, the unifying the infrastructure. So lots of goodness there, and you know, we're bringing a lot of things forward, but we're also bringing some fears. We spent time with our TAP customers. Our TAP took about 2 years throughout the process, about that?
Yeah.
2 years, betas, multiple different interim releases between the beta milestones, and we spent a lot of time, you know, learning the operational challenges or fears that our customers have. You know, there's things around, you know, just running in a data center, things that you need to do in a data center, geographical challenges, you know, cost prohibiting things, and then just, you know, the people process technology that kind of binds into all your day-to-day process. So we tried to look at those as we built the migration feature set, and then try to overcome as many of those fears and challenges and put those into the technology to make your guys' lives easier. So overall, how painful is going to be migrate? Not really painful. We offer various different things to do this. You know, we had core goals with, we want to assist with the migration of objects. So everything that we have in Configuration Manager 2007 from an object level, we're going to let you migrate over. So there's not going to be any loss of the intent or any of the objects that you've built. With some of the tools that you might have used when you're doing other types of migrations, you might have missed properties or you might not have been able to get everything. We want to migrate the entire object. And as we talk about migrating the object, things like, you know, a task sequence will actually be able to securely carry over the passwords. So with the pass tools, you know, things get left off. There's a lot of reconfiguration, you know, passwords, secrets, things like that. Well, we actually go and make sure that we can migrate all the objects over and keep them intact the way they are. We also assist with the migration of clients. So we do lots of things to make it easier for you guys to migrate clients, and we're going to go through some of that in a little bit. Minimize WAN impact. This one's a very important goal that we had. Early on in the process, we were doing a migration, and one of my peers went out to a site, and they did a migration of a bunch of the content, and they didn't pay attention to the WAN links they were using, and they took down the WAN. So it was over in Germany, and then it was two offices. I think it was like, you know, 50 kilometers apart. The network admin drove over just to yell at the guy for an hour about taking down the network during business hours, which, if anybody knows, that's just a horrible experience. You know, no one wants to get through that. So we spent a lot of time making sure that everything we do in this is, you know, optimizing the network or trying to minimize the impact to your network so that you're not disrupting your business while you're doing this migration. Also, we're going to assist with the flattening of the hierarchy. So we talked yesterday a lot in the deployment overview session about, you know, if you're using a CAS, you'll have two primaries. Primaries can't tier off each other. So we're working with the migration framework will work and take your tiered hierarchy today and help you flatten it tomorrow. So as you go through the migration framework, you'll kind of see how you can flatten fairly easy. And then lastly, you know, we look to any of the 64-bit hardware out there. We're trying to maximize the reusability there. So those are the core goals that we try to do as we aim for our migration. So what does it kind of look like? The migration functionality is in-box, so it ships. There's no add-on. There's no toolkit. You know, it just comes when you install Configuration Manager 2012. As you can see here, it's in the administration node, and you're going to see a lot of this node through, I think, three or four demos that we have for you today. So it's native in the product, and we have a whole little node here. So it's, you know, integrated in. No problems there. Okay, so what kind of functionality do we offer with the migration? We offer the object migration. So again, that's going to be the migration of your collection, software distribution package. We'll migrate the boundaries. We'll migrate metering rules. And again, anything that you've configured in Configuration Manager 2007, we'll go ahead and migrate that over. A great feature we put in is distribution point sharing. What we allow you to do is actually leverage your Configuration Manager 2007 distribution points for content lookup and for the clients to download. What this means is we can go ahead and, as we're migrating objects over, we'll persist the package ID. And if a client on the Configuration Manager 2012 side asks the MP for a content location and you're in a boundary where one of the Configuration Manager 2007 distribution points is, we'll actually give you that location and we'll be able to download that content. So we'll be able to, while you're migrating through, you'll still be able to actually go and leverage all that content that you have out there and take advantage of your wealth of your infrastructure. So you don't have to set up side-by-side distribution points everywhere to do that. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, the content pre-staging tool. Again, you might be rebuilding your infrastructure, you might be replacing servers and things like that. We actually are shipping an inbox product to help you pre-stage content. Before we had that package preload on site tool, BranchDP had its own tool. This content pre-staging is inbox, and it works for both the distribution point and the site server. You can create this one package of content data, and we'll go and we'll import it on, you know, the site server or the distribution point, making it easier for you guys in remote offices to get that content back up and running. And then the next part about the content is the distribution point upgrade. I told you that we'd actually let you share the distribution points so that you can do, you know, roaming and side-by-side. Once you're done with, you know, maybe you're once you're done with a rollout, maybe you're doing a site-by-site rollout, you can actually go and say, you know what, I've moved all the clients, and now I'm ready to, you know, quote-unquote, decommission this site. You can go and upgrade that distribution point. We'll actually convert the content to the way the content's stored in the new style DP and reuse all the content that's there. So you don't actually have to go and redistribute that content over the WAN. Again, trying to preserve and minimize those WAN impacts for you and take advantage of the hardware and the systems that you have out there. And then we'll go ahead and import, you know, the 2007 MOF files. I think we went through a little bit of that in the deployment overview session, showing you how we can do all that. And then the other most important part is we're going to retain the advertisement execution history. So as you're doing migrations, you migrate the advertisement history over, and then you won't have clients rerunning packages. So that was a big fear that we had when we were talking to some of our customers is, hey, this side-by-side is great, but if I attach a client now, I don't want them to go and reinstall Office even though it's there. So retaining the advertisement history is, you know, a key element to make sure your clients don't get disrupted as we do migration, and you're not getting also some other unnecessary traffic of the client to the distribution point. Okay. So the migration process from Configuration Manager to Configuration Manager 2012. So naturally plan. With any good project, you're always going to go and plan. We're going to look at our current environment. We're going to do a proof of concept test and design. We need to look at the core requirement, which is your existing 2007 hierarchy needs to be to Configuration Manager 2007 SP2, which I actually think is the only supported version right now. So hopefully everyone's on that right now. Let's look over our hardware requirements. So as we're looking at the new servers we're going to put up, you know, we have, you know, Windows Server 2008 X64 for all our primary site servers. So let's make sure that we're rolling out the correct version of the operating system that we need to get our new infrastructure built up and put in place. And then make sure SQL's at the latest version. So we just want to make sure that you plan for all your new servers coming up with the correct operating systems and the versions of SQL. Additionally, you'll see that Server 2008 X64 has an asterisk next to it. That's specifically for the distribution point role. The distribution point role will run on 32-bit. It'll also run on Server 2003 or Windows Vista SP2 or later. So we eliminated the branch distribution point, but we've actually made a new client distribution point role. So the distribution point works the same for clients and servers. So that's the one exception to the Server 2008 X64. Okay, so deploy. First thing you need to do is you need to set up your initial Configuration Manager 2012 site or sites. You know, take into account how big is your enterprise going to be. Are you going to put up a CAS? Are you going to put up a primary site? You don't need to overplan this. We announced this week, or maybe actually 2 weeks ago at TechEd North America, that we're going to be releasing Configuration Manager 2012 SP1 in the future. With Configuration Manager 2012 SP1, we're going to have the ability to take a primary site and attach it to a new CAS. So as you're designing your hierarchy, you can actually design it today and not have to do what we call future-proofing, which we were seeing some customers do. So go ahead and plan today for what you think your infrastructure is. And, you know, if you're an enterprise of 5,000, you'll probably just need one primary site server. If you're an enterprise that's over 100,000, well, primary site only supports 100,000 clients, so you're naturally going to need at least two primaries in a CAS. So figure out the type of infrastructure you need to set up and then get that set up. We'll also need you to go and set up the software update point and synchronize updates. We do need a specific instance of a SUS server so that we can go and migrate the patch metadata over and make sure that your clients can receive updates and scan and do all the stuff we need to keep those things secure. And then go ahead and set up any server roles. So as you're planning and getting it up, getting your infrastructure set up, you want to set up your primary site. We'll get your SUS server. You're probably going to want to put one or two brand new DPs up. You might want to start looking at the new application model, so you won't be able to leverage some of the content on the old distribution points for that. So, you know, you get a couple of distribution points up. if you're using Pixie, you want to get a Pixie server up. So set up all the actual roles you want to get your hierarchy going. And then last, just make sure it's kind of working before you start migrating to it, right? Get a couple of clients, make sure everything's healthy. We have a lot of inbox tools to make sure that if you have a hierarchy with a CAS and a primary site, that things are replicating and the infrastructure's healthy. So, we just make sure everything's good and healthy before you start migrating, because the last thing you want is an unhealthy infrastructure and add a bunch of data that may or may not help the health of the infrastructure. Okay, and then the third step in the process is migrate. This is actually kind of the fun part. You get to go and configure it, the migration job. The migration job, we'll go into some details in a moment here, it'll let you actually selectively pick things, so you don't have to migrate everything. We can go and we can say, I just want these 20 packages migrated, but I want all these collections migrated. So you can go and select and pick the types of things you want. You can go ahead and enable distribution point sharing. So again, once you've set up your migration job and you started migrating objects and you started bringing new Configuration Manager 2012 clients on board, you can enable that distribution point sharing so that you can leverage that content out there. Again, we don't want everyone to go out and put double distribution points in every location just so you can get content. So the shared distribution point is a huge value add as you're kind of doing this overlap during your migration phase. And then we're going to go ahead and we're going to migrate the objects and migrate the clients. So this will probably take anywhere from a weekend to maybe a couple months, depending on the size of your enterprise. Migrate maybe by business unit or whatever meets your business needs. And then migrate the clients over. And then when you get to a point that the clients have been migrated over, we can go ahead and upgrade those distribution points. Again, reusing that content in place. So making it easier so you don't have to go and redeploy a distribution point, resend all that content over the network, kind of just optimizing the overall experience for you guys. And then at that point, once the site's been migrated over, the distribution point's been upgraded, go ahead and uninstall those sites. The actual inbox uninstall is good. If it's the last site, you might just flatten the box because there's nothing left. And then kind of rinse and repeat on this process. So as you have multiple primary sites, you'll go through this process a couple times to go and migrate everything over and get all the objects and content and the clients migrated. Okay, types of migration jobs. There's three types of migration jobs. There's objects, there's collections, and then there's objects modified after migration. So you can go ahead and actually set up a migration job, migrate a bunch of packages, so like your Office, your Link, your Adobe, and then you can actually check to see if they've been modified. We know you'll be in a dual administration mode for a while, and we know changes happen. So one of the things that we look to do is make sure that we can keep those two things in sync. So we offer that third one, which is detection of objects that have already been migrated that have been modified after the migration. So it's a great, it's a great thing that we have in the product that helps you run side by side and not have to be overwhelmed with the administrative experience. Okay. Objects migration by instance, I think I talked a little bit about this. We allow you to cherry pick, that's our term of selectively picking the types of objects that we want to migrate. One of the things that I encourage everyone to do is actually kind of look at the things that you need to migrate. This is a great time to clean up your infrastructure. Do you really need Adobe 5 out if it's still in your infrastructure? Probably not. You're probably on Adobe 9 or Adobe 10. So it's a great time to get rid of all those old objects that are sitting out there. Your Office 2003 that's probably sitting out there because you're afraid to delete it. And then you can always find out if you need it at one point, just migrate it over. But it's a great time to kind of prune your environment and start off fresh and just take the things that you need. And then I talked a little bit about this already. We can detect the objects that have been modified after migration. Okay, collection migration. So collection migration enables us to migrate the collection and all the related objects. So we can just grab a collection, migrate it over, and then anything, then we'll exclude anything that we want to prune out of there. The one thing with collection migration, and we talked a little bit about it in the deployment or the infrastructure session yesterday, is there's only user and device collections now. So if you have a mixed collection, and we'll talk some more about this in the slides, if you have a mixed collection, we won't migrate those. So one of the things that you'll start planning for, or hopefully can start planning for, is do user and device only collections, because the mixed collections won't migrate. Okay, objects supported by migration. Basically, everything that we kind of can create in the box today, collections, advertisements will get migrated over via the collection migration. We'll migrate the boundaries over. Software distribution package and virtual application package to get migrated. The virtual application package itself will come over as the new application. We have a session later today that talks about applications and the application model. It's a change from what we've had in packages and programs. It's a rich metadata that allows multiple deployment types. We can do requirement rules. So the app V is a subset of that. When we migrate it over, we're actually going to automatically convert it for you. So there's not going to be the existing virtual application that you see today. But the packages will come over as is. So that'll be slightly different when it migrates over. From software updates, we're going to migrate over all our deployment lists, our update lists. Operating system images, we're going to migrate all that stuff over. We're going to talk a little bit about the boot image. That one's a little bit different on how that gets migrated. And then settings management, asset intelligence, and software meeting rules, those are all going to be able to come over. At this point, I'm going to hand it over to Wally to give you a demo.
All righty. Thank you, John. And as you guys have noticed, that both John and I talk rather quickly. So apologize for you that aren't native English speaking, because we do talk fast. We don't talk any slower either. We only get going faster. So apologize for that, but that's just the way we are.
It's exciting stuff.
It is. Anyway, so as John mentioned, in the planning phase, one of the first things you have to do is ensure that your Configuration Manager 2007 sites that you want to migrate information from are running at Service Pack 2. And here you can see I'm looking at my ConfigMan 2007 site, and you can see the build number there, or version number, says 4.00.6487.2000. What we're looking for is that 6487.2. That tells us that it is Service Pack 2. So that's the important thing that we're really after. We block it in the code, so we will not support an upgrade from ConfigMan 2007 RTM or Service Pack 1. Now, with that said, we don't honestly care about the R2s and R3s. If you look at the properties of this site, you will see that it actually does have R3 installed. We honestly don't care whether R3 is installed or not. R2, R3, that's immaterial. We're looking for the version of Configuration Manager, which again is Service Pack 2, is the important thing we're looking for. And my site is Service Pack 2. Again, it does have R3, so we're all set ready for migration. So now we're going to switch over to our central administration site server, and we're going to kick off our process. Before I get there, I just want to show you, here's what my hierarchy looks like. John mentioned you set up your CAS, and then your primary sites, and maybe secondary sites. Well, I'm on a CAS right now, and I have a primary site, PR1. My hierarchy actually includes a second primary site, PR2, and a secondary site. I don't have those images started up, so that's why you see those red links there. So the links are down. But I do have a full hierarchy here. You can migrate from a standalone Configuration Manager 2007 site over to a hierarchy, which is what my demo is going to be. You can migrate from a standalone to a standalone. You can migrate from a hierarchy over to a standalone. So we support all those different configurations, and hierarchy, obviously, the hierarchy. But again, as John mentioned, we want to flatten your hierarchy. You want to reduce the cost. You want to reduce your hardware and operating system and SQL Server and licenses. So you want to try and remove sites when you can. And we help you with that process. So I just want to show you what my hierarchy looks like. So to start your migration process, you have to go to the migration homepage, which is in the administration dashboard. And so I just clicked on migration. We give you a little score chart or scoreboard of what your migration looks like. And right now, it's all empty because I don't know anything. So I have to tell the Configuration Manager 2012 site that I want to migrate to about the ConfigMan 2007 site I want to migrate from. So I'll go up to the Home tab of the ribbon, and I'll select the option Specify Source Hierarchy. And this wizard is going to allow me to specify a number of things. So I'll type this in, and I'll zoom in so you can see it better. I have to specify the computer name of my Configuration Manager 2007 site server. And I've typed in SMS server. So that's the NetBIOS computer name of my 2007 site server, the central site or standalone primary site that I'm migrating from. You can punch in the FQDN if you need to. Then you can see down below, we require some accounts that are used from ConfigMan 2012 to connect up to the ConfigMan 2007 site server to retrieve data. You can see there's two different accounts we're using. We're using the SMS provider account. So we have to get to the SMS provider. We also have to get to SQL Server. So we need an account or accounts. They can be different accounts if you want, that can get from the 2012 site to the 2007 site to the SMS provider, WMI, as well as to SQL Server. You notice the default option is to use a user account, but you also have the option to specify a computer account, if you wish. In my case, my two sites are untrusted forests, so my computer account is not going to be a valid credential. So I'm going to go ahead and use a user account. So I'm going to go ahead and specify the user account I want to use. So I'm going to go ahead and specify new account. This new account is in the domain SMS domain. And I'm going to just use the administrator account. My password is password. And notice there is a browse button here. If I have capabilities of accessing that remote site, I can go ahead and browse to that remote Active Directory and select the account from there. In this case, I don't have ability to do so because they're an untrusted forest, so I have to type in my credentials. You also notice there's a verify button. We want to verify that the account credentials we're supplying are valid to access the appropriate resource. So I'm going to go ahead and select the verify button. And I want to go ahead and verify that we can get to WMI. So I want to state that I want to go ahead and connect up using this account to the SMS provider computer, which is, in my case, SMS server. I want to go to the SMS namespace, which is where Configuration Manager writes this data in WMI, using those credentials. So all I'm going to do is click the Test Connection button. And if I've supplied my credentials correctly, then this message box will pop up that says, hey, your connection was successful. So I know I've got a valid account that can now get to the WMI infrastructure on my Configuration Manager 2007 site server. Well, as mentioned, we also have to get to SQL Server. So we can go ahead and test that same account, or I can supply different credentials. So I go to SQL Server, specify the computer name that's running SQL at that remote site, what instance you're using, I'm using the default instance, and then what database you want to test. And we're going to go ahead and test the Configuration Manager database, which is SMS underscore TST. Oops. TST, click Test Connection, and again, it came back successfully. So now I've got an account that I know it has valid rights to get to the two resources I need. So now back on this dialog, I can go ahead and state, use the same account for SQL Server that I've used for the provider, or I can specify a different account. And we just validated the same account for both, so I'm going to use it. I'll click OK. This now is going to launch off what we call the data gathering process. This is where the Configuration Manager 2012 site server, in my case the CAS, is reaching across the network to the Configuration Manager 2007 site server, to WMI, and to SQL Server to retrieve all the data information, all those objects that John was talking about, the number of clients you have, the number of primary sites you have in your hierarchy, all that information. We're gathering that information and bringing that over to the Configuration Manager 2012 site. That process is done. So if I click Close, now you will see in that migration dashboard that it provides some information to me. So it tells me that my environment had, or has, 95 objects that I can migrate over. Collections, packages, advertisements, software distribution objects, all those things that John was talking about. It also has three clients over here, so that's obviously a very small number of clients. You guys can have hundreds or thousands of objects and thousands of clients, obviously. My little test environment just has a very small amount. You notice at the very bottom of the display, there's also an alert that pops up and just says the initial data gathering process completed successfully. So that's an informational alert. Okay, so now we know about that information, about that site in the Configuration Manager 2000 environment. One of the things we do is, John mentioned you're going to be in this dual administration space for a period of time, because you're not going to be migrating overnight. At least most people won't be. So what we do is we automatically re-query your Configuration Manager 2007 environment every 4 hours. John mentioned you might be modifying your packages or collections. We want to know about that so we can bring those modifications over, or you're creating new objects. So this querying process will run automatically every 4 hours. You can change that from hourly down to daily if you wish to. So we'll just leave that at the default. Now, the other thing John mentioned is that we want to be able to share content between the Configuration Manager 2007 clients and the Configuration Manager 2012 clients, but not have to redistribute those packages that we migrate over to 2012 distribution points. So you want to be able to share your distribution points. So that's a specific option you have to go through. So up on the ribbon, you have this action that says share distribution points. So if you want to do that share DP stuff John was talking about, you have to specifically tell us you want to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and say, yes, I'm going to share my DPs. This dialog box pops up, and basically just a confirmation that, yes, you want to enable shared distribution points. The reason we're prompting you for this is that, and we don't do it automatically, we share every single DP in your environment. You can't pick and choose which distribution points that you want to share. Now, a ConfigMan 2007 site supports 50 DPs, but it supports 2,000 branch DPs, which we can share also. So do you want to have all 2,000 of those computers shared in your ConfigMan 2012 environment? So you have to make that conscious decision if you want to. And I'm going to say yes, and then click OK. This launches off another data gathering process. It'll be a quicker one because it's just looking for that distribution point information. Now, by the way, you saw how long it took for my data gathering process to occur. You're thinking, wow, that's going to take hours in my environment. In MSIT, we managed over 290,000 clients at Microsoft with Configuration Manager. That data gathering process took 7 minutes for an environment that has all those thousands of objects to manage those not 290,000 clients. So it's not going to take you guys hours at all. So even in your environment, you saw here, it took 30 seconds or whatever. And you go back to your own environment, it takes 2 minutes. Don't be alarmed by that. Okay, so now if we go down to the preview pane, there's a little tab at the bottom called Shared DPs. If I go down here, give this a moment to think, it'll go ahead and refresh. And let me go ahead and change my node, come back. Now it'll probably be there. There we go. And now you'll see I have two distribution points available. And I'll zoom in for you. It shows me my two distribution points. They're both Windows Server DPs. They're both standard DPs as opposed to branch DPs. And then later on, we'll talk about this eligible for upgrade thing. So we'll talk about upgrading DPs later on. But now, my both environments know about these two distribution points. So when I move content over, package files, and that they become available to my 2012 clients, if those Configuration Manager 2012 clients want that content, as John said, they can query and find out about these DPs that have the content already on them. Okay, so I have that. Now I want to start migrating some objects over. So I go to Migration Jobs. Jobs are the commands that say, hey, migrate this information over. And when we say migrate, we don't mean we're removing anything from ConfigMan 2007. It's a read-only operation there. So everything stays in your Configuration Manager 2007 environment. We recreate those objects in 2012. So we're going to go ahead and create a migration job. Our first migration job we're going to create is going to be to bring over some objects. I'm just going to go ahead and type in a simple name like objects. You'd want to create a name that means something. So when John comes and looks at the console later on, well, what does objects mean? What kind of a migration job is that? So they want to say migration of operating system deployment objects so that John can start doing his OSD work. So put in a valid name and some kind of a description you want. That makes sense. John mentioned the three different types of migration jobs we have: collection migration, object migration, and objects modified after migration. So that was on the slide that he referred to. We're going to go ahead and choose the middle option, which is object migration here. So object migration. And this now shows you just a dumping or a list of all the different types of objects that you can bring across from Configuration Manager 2007. Boundaries, software distribution packages, AppD packages, configuration items, your OSD stuff, all these different objects. It shows you the quantity of objects you have and how many are selected for migration already. And in this case, they're all zeros except for the quantity we have. So I can go ahead and pick and choose whatever objects I want, like software distribution packages. Well, do I want to take all four of those packages over? It doesn't make sense to bring the client upgrade package over because we have a brand new one built in. It doesn't make sense to bring that bottom package over, KB977384. We don't need that in ConfigMan 2012 because that's built into the client. It's for power management. So even though by default we select all those objects, I don't want this one. I don't want this one. So you can clear the selection of any objects you don't want. So you go ahead and pick and choose which objects you want and bring across whatever you wish to. Pick and choose appropriate items. So as John mentioned in the slide, you can cherry pick what you want. We understand relationships. So if I, in this case, I'm saying I don't want to bring over one specific configuration item, the wizard says, hey, if you don't bring across that configuration item, I can't bring across that configuration baseline that refers to or uses that configuration item. So we understand the relationship between our different objects. So again, you go and cherry pick which objects you want to bring across. You click Next. In this case, we're asking you for content ownership. This is that your package source files are sitting on a 2007 environment somewhere. If you choose to distribute those files to a Configuration Manager 2012 DP, we need those source files to replicate across to our DPs. which Configuration Manager 2012 site is going to be the one to go out and get those files from the 2007 environment. And you can pick and choose any of your type of sites that can own a package. In this case, it lets me pick and choose my CAS, primary one, primary two. The sites that have admin consoles and you can create objects at. So it doesn't show my secondary site. Oops, and no, I don't want to cancel the wizard. Then security settings. Security, in the overview session on Tuesday and in our deployment infrastructure session yesterday, we talked about the new role-based administration technology. You have to specify the owner of these objects. Who has access to seeing these objects? Not necessarily the owner, but who has access to seeing these? So if these are objects that are coming across for John to do his work, I would select the security scope that John's a member of. And if he's not listed right now, I can go in there and create a new security scope on the fly here, and I can say John, and I'll go ahead and select the John security scope so he can see these objects once he logs into the console, whatever one he has. So select whatever appropriate security scopes for you. We have a bunch of information we display. Here's what's going to happen when you migrate these objects across. If you don't want to read it all here, there's an option down here in the lower right. Save to file. You can save this entire list of text on this page out to a text file, and you can format it in Word. You can print it out. You can review it at your leisure. Just need more information for you what's going to happen in this process. Now, settings. There are three different chunks to the settings page we'll go through. The top one is, when does the migration job run? You see the default is complete the wizard and run the migration job immediately, which is kind of a normal thing. You want it to happen right away. Well, the top option is, I want to create the job now, but let me go ahead and kick off the job at a later time. I'll go ahead and choose when I want to migrate those specific objects, but let me go ahead and create the job right now. The bottom option says, create the job right now, but schedule it to run at some date and time in the future. For example, I'm going to be on vacation next week, so I want to create all the migration jobs now, schedule them to run next week when I want migration to happen, but I'm not going to be there to launch them off. Or maybe schedule them to run after hours so there's fewer people on the network, so less impact on my server and my network. I'll go ahead and run it right now. Then in the middle is the section that says, what happens if an object you selected for migration already exists in the Configuration Manager 2012 environment? So one of those software distribution packages. What if the CCM framework tools package already has been created in ConfigMan 2012? What do I do? And the default is don't overwrite. In other words, don't migrate that object that already exists. If you do that third type of migration job, John talked about objects modified after migration, then that bottom option is selected, overwrite the objects. Because you know you modified the object, you want to get those modifications brought over. And then at the very bottom is transfer your organizational folder structure over. So if you've created folders for packages, folders for your software update stuff, bring those folders across so that we can use those in 2012 as well. So we'll take the default for all these options. We'll click Next. The summary page pops up and tells you what, just to confirm what you did. Creates that migration job. It all looks great. Click Close. We now have a migration job created. It'll go to running here momentarily. It says it's not started right now. But what I want to show you, if you go down to the preview pane again, there's a tab down here called Objects and Job. In fact, you can see it is already running. And this shows you all those different objects that you selected to be migrated as part of that migration job. And it shows you the status of them. The bottom one, PowerPoint Viewer, is running right now. So we're taking that virtual application package, PowerPoint Viewer, and we're converting it over to that application model that John talked about. So this will go ahead and refresh. It'll refresh as I tell it to. So if I go refresh here and get some updated data, it may already be done. Probably not yet. Oh, it is already done. So it says we're all done with the job. So everything's been migrated over. So let's see a couple more things real quick before we move on. Now my migration dashboard, and I'll zoom in for you. It shows that I have migrated some information over. I've migrated over 14 objects, so the pie chart has changed colors a little bit. So it gives you a scoreboard to see where you're at in your migration process. And as John mentioned, you probably aren't going to migrate over everything. You got old legacy packages and collections and stuff you no longer want. You just haven't taken the time to clean up in your old environment. So you're probably not going to get to the completely, I've migrated over everything. But at least you migrate over what you want. And then I should show you real quickly a couple of those objects that did get migrated over. So software library. Go to Applications, go to Packages, And here's those two packages that we brought over, CCM framework tools and DCM authoring tools. The middle one is the one that's built in. So that's why I said we don't want to bring over that client upgrade package because we already have one built in. So that was already there. John mentioned we maintain the advertisement history stuff. How we do that is by looking at your package ID. So package ID here, you see those two packages got migrated. Keep the same package ID that they had in ConfigMan 2007. So that's when clients receive the advertisement, which is now a deployment. They'll say, oh, I already ran that from package TST00005. So they won't rerun it. So we maintain those. But the middle one you can see was already existing because it has the old CAS ID. For those two AppV packages, here you can see the two AppV packages got converted over to applications. And they utilize the AppV deployment technology. So we use AppV as the technology. So it's an application now with an AppV deployment type. And I think I told to bring over some software update information. So there's software update groups. There's my deployment packages. And you see, again, the package ID is the same. So we, again, maintain those so clients know what went on with your stuff. So we just show you all those objects. All those objects can get migrated over, including all your OSD stuff that John mentioned as well. So all those things that John talked about, we can go ahead and bring those across for you as part of a migration of object type. I'll do another migration job for collections coming up momentarily. But with that, we'll go back over our slides. We'll do some more lecture stuff, and then we'll come back and do a collection migration. So as John mentioned, the big thing for software updates is that you have to already have an existing software update point in ConfigMan 2012 that is synchronized with the exact same metadata as your software update point in 2007. You can't use the same WSUS and SUP computer for both environments. So you have to have a standalone, you have to have your WSUS environment as a SUP in 2007, set up a brand new WSUS box, set it up as a SUP, and then synchronize the metadata, probably for Microsoft Update. Once you do that, then you can migrate over the objects like I showed you. The big consideration is at the bottom. If you're using the System Center Updates Publisher tool to create and publish your own updates, those don't migrate over. So just take SCUP 2011 and republish those same items in ConfigMan 2012 through WSUS. Operating system deployment. As mentioned, you can bring across your OS images, your task sequences, your drivers and driver packages. A couple of things there to be aware of, third-party images. Third-party task sequences, we don't support migration of. They may come across, they may work, but we don't support that. And that includes MDT. MDT has a brand new version for Configuration Manager 2012, so they want you to go ahead and create the new task sequences again as well. And your boot image customizations are not migrated, but we will bring across any drivers you had in your boot images. We'll bring those across. We have new default boot images in Configuration Manager 2012. But we'll bring across the drivers you had there and bring those over for you for importing. And any customized or custom boot images you had, you can bring those across. DCM, I showed you. I did select configuration items and baselines. We'll bring those across. The thing to be aware of is that if the items are uninterpreted, we can't migrate those over. And what that means is if you can't display them properly in the console and view the properties of those configuration items or baselines, we can't migrate them over. And that, if that's the case, it likely means you use some third-party tool to create those configuration items and baselines, and we can't render them properly in our console. But if you use our technology, then they should be brought across. And your configuration packs from 2007 are able to be imported. So you don't have to migrate those. You can just take a config pack either from the web or that you've exported from your own environment, import them directly into 2012, and we'll update the schema appropriately. Content migration, so content being those package files that you have. I brought across a few packages, but that didn't bring across the source files for those packages. I don't do that until I try and assign those packages to a distribution point that's Configuration Manager 2012. But we bring across the package source location as it exists in the 2007 environment. So if my package source files that I brought across said C:\lab files/office, when that's brought across over to 2012, it still says C:\apps/lab files/office. And that's probably not the correct path now on my 2012 site server, because again, you're doing side by side. So it's highly recommended to go ahead and use UNC paths so that when I bring across that item and recreate it, the UNC path will still be valid. OS images, boot images. Actually, in all, generally all cases, your owning site server has to have read rights to those source files to be able to get those objects and bring them across. So it's very likely the central administration site server. And then in the interim, if you don't want to bring across your content, you can again do DB sharing, and the 2012 clients can get the content from your ConfigMan 2007 distribution point. Then when you're all done, as John mentioned, you upgrade it to 2012, keep your content intact, and you didn't have to deploy it across the wire at all. So for in terms of software distribution, your classic packages and programs, that's just the standard package programs you guys know today, those get brought directly over, including the site or the object ID, as you saw, so that you preserve that intent and that history for clients. We also bring across your advertisements when you do collection migration. So when you do a collection migration, we'll migrate over all the objects associated with that collection, including your advertisements. So right now, it just brought across the packages, but not the advertisements for them. When I do collection migration later on, it will bring those across for me. We already talked about the UNC mapping. Programs are disabled by default. You'll see that when I go through the next wizard for collection migration, so I'll talk about it there. And then we, as John mentioned, we want you guys living in this new model we have called the application model. Well, we brought across your classic packages over as packages. Although, again, virtual packages come across as applications with the app V deployment type. We have a tool called the Package Conversion Manager, which you can then use to hopefully help you migrate or convert those packages over to applications. And it does a great job of going through and analyzing your packages. Can they be converted? Are they appropriate? Do you have special membership rules in your queries for your collections that you can bring across as requirement rules, global conditions, and we can create those all over for you. So that's a free downloadable tool from the Microsoft website you can download to help convert your classic packages and programs over to the application model. Oh, and slide on package. Oops. That didn't do much, did it? Okay. There probably should have been more on that slide other than what is it. I was expecting it to be a build slide, and there's nothing building there. So it's a free tool to download to help you analyze your existing packages, whether they got migrated over or whether they are just built inside 2012 or you build them inside 2012 as packages and programs. It allows you to analyze them. Are they appropriate for conversion over to the application model? If so, let me help you do that conversion over. It integrates directly into our console, so it'll have right-click and ribbon actions in the console, and you can also go ahead and have it do a automatic conversion and a dashboard that will show you kind of like the migration dashboard what your status is of those. But it's not there. So we saw all the rest of these things that get brought across. The biggest concern you guys have is that bottom one. Reports are not migrated. So that was not on the list of things that we migrate over, your reports. Now, you don't care about the standard reports because all of your standard reports are automatically recreated in ConfigMan 2012 through SRS. So all those standard 388 reports you have, we already have in ConfigMan 2012, if they're appropriate reports. What you're concerned about are your custom reports that you've invested time in creating in 2007. You have two options there. One is to recreate them in ConfigMan 2012 in SRS. Secondly, your second option is to take those reports, convert them to SRS inside ConfigMan 2007. Once they're in SRS with 2007, you can then export them to RDL, take the RDL file and import it directly into your SRS box in 2012, you got the reports over there. So a very simple process through SQL reporting services through ConfigMan 2007, which we integrate with R2 and R3, and then over to 2012, which we only use reporting from Configuration Manager 2012. The other two things people ask about are security rights, which you don't want, as you saw yesterday and Tuesday in the role-based administration. Completely different, a whole lot easier, so you don't want your old security stuff. And queries. We don't bring across queries because there's already exported queries into MOF format, and 2012 can import MOF format queries directly. So you already got that built in. Okay, a little bit on collections. I'm going to warn you guys, we're probably not going to get through everything. We've got a lot of stuff here, and John talked too much, so I don't have enough time to cover all my stuff. So, no, we've got a lot of data here, but we wanted to keep the slides in here for you so that you have a reference to these when you download the PowerPoints later on. But we'll do our best to get through what we can. A couple things on collections for you. Collections are quite a bit different in 2012 than we have in 2007. John mentioned, I think, that we don't support sub-collections anymore. So we only have one type of collection called a collection. There's no more sub-collections, no more linked collections. So what do you do if you have sub-collections today? Well, we'll actually show you that on the next slide. We actually convert them over to folders for you. and then create collections in those folders. We have two root collections or read-only collections, all systems, and then all users and user groups. And all collections in 2012 are limited to the membership of some other collection. By default, all systems are all users and user groups for the other collections that we build in. But you can go ahead and create your own collections and limit them to the membership rules of another collection. In the little screenshot there, they show you a couple of new membership rule types we have. We have include collection, which is very much like your linked collections you have today, and then exclude collections, which is the ability of excluding members of one collection from this other collection membership, which is very, very cool. So primary goals for collection migration lets you preserve your investment in collections and the intent of those collections, as well as bring across all objects advertised or deployed to those. And then prevent unintentional increase in collection scope. What that means is 2012, all objects are global data. They replicate everywhere. So in 2007, if on a primary site you create a collection called All Win 7 Clients, that stays right there. It doesn't go up, it doesn't go over to your siblings. But in 2012, if you create a collection called All Win 7 Clients in primary site 1, it replicates up to your CAS, then over to primary site 2. So primary site 2 is going to do evaluation of All Win 7 Clients. I've now got the same collection with two different membership lists in two different sites. So now if I deploy a piece of software to All Win 7 Clients collection, that deployment is globally replicated. It'll replicate over to primary site 2. It's going to evaluate, oh, I have an All Win 7 Clients collection. Let me go ahead and deploy there. And so you might be hitting clients you weren't expecting to be hit. So we want to make sure that you don't have that scenario happen. So here's the first thing we do for you as far as collections. So today you might have empty collections that the only purpose in life for them is to be an organizational folder for sub-collections. So you have an empty collection, nothing in it other than sub-collections for organizational purposes. That's the desktops collection on the left-hand side, where it's an empty collection, then I have a desktops North America below that. You might also have folder collections or empty collections that you do actually have clients in or membership or things targeted to it for your scale out. So you test on the collection with a few members, make sure everything works, then you go back and modify your advertisement to say include sub-collections, and that replicates out. So what's going to happen here from the 2007 environment is your desktop's empty collection becomes a folder, and we build your desktop's North America collection as a real collection instead of a sub-collection in that folder. In the other side where you had the linked collections with targets to them, the sites and Redmond folder or collections that were kind of empty become folders again for organizational purposes, and then Building 41 and Building 44 sub-collections go inside the Redmond folder as you had. And I'll demonstrate that for you in my demo coming up here shortly. Now, specifically on sub-collections, again, here's the same thing. You had Redmond. This is a case where you have the Redmond collection actually had members of it or an advertisement targeted to it. So you see we still bring across a folder called Redmond, but we also create a collection called Redmond that has composable or include collections for Building 41 and 44. That's for your scale-out purposes. And I'll show you that scenario as well in my collection migration right now. So let's go ahead and I won't take the time to show you what it looked like in 2007. We'll just go ahead and go over and do our migration so that we can get moving along because we're short on time. We'll go over here to migration jobs. We have the one. We're going to create a new migration job. And I'll say this collections, not very intuitive, but I don't want to take a lot of time for typing. We'll do collection migration. Now we show you a listing of all the collections that we have in our ConfigMan 2007 environment. We show you the collection name, the site code that owns that collection, whether it's a user collection or a device collection, and then whether or not it's been migrated already. Notice down the bottom two, main building in North America, they both say folder. They're empty collections, so they're going to become folders in ConfigMan 2012. They have sub-collections inside of them. So if I go back out here and expand for you, and now I scroll on down, you'll see that they have sub-collections underneath them. So we're going to take the root collection, make it a folder, and those sub-collections are going to be collections inside those folders. So I have to select which collections I want to migrate over. So I'll take, don't need that one. Take that one, and that one. And then notice the checkbox at the very bottom says migrate objects that are associated with those collections. So show me all the advertisements, the packages, the DCMs, the task sequences, everything that's targeted to those collections, and migrate them. So now I click next. And it says, hey, here's all those objects that are targeted to any of those collections. If you look at the advertisements, I don't need the advertisement for KB977384. That's that hotfix for R3 power management. It's already built in. Look at packages, and you'll see that it says two of our packages are already migrated. We did that as part of the object migration. So it lets us know that I don't have to migrate those back over because they already have been migrated over. So I just pick and choose which objects I want to migrate over. In fact, I'll take this baseline or this configuration item again and remove it. Now the wizard's going to look very similar to what we saw before. Content, who's going to own the content if we need it? Security scope, who's going to have access to these objects? And now a couple of new options. Collection limiting. This is that scenario where you have a collection in 2007 that's limited to another collection in 2007. That's an optional configuration in 2007. It's required in 2012. So that collection that's being limited from may not exist in 2012. So what collection do you want to replace as your limited collection in 2012? If you don't have anything there, in my case, they're all going to be limited to all systems by default. But if you did have any that you had to do that limiting on, we'd specify them for you here. Next one is site code replacement. You may have a query in your collection that says site code equals TST. Well, you're doing a side-by-side migration, so you have new site codes. So TST no longer exists in the 2012 environment. When you migrate that collection over with this query rule, TST is going to be empty. It's not going to be valid, so your collection is going to be zero net members. So we're going to let you designate the new site code you want to replace TST with for your collection limiting, for your query. And I don't have any, so I'm good. The review information thing that we talked about before, you can save it to a file. Settings. The only setting that's different here is on the very bottom, and that is that bottom checkbox is not enabled. Enable program for deployments. That's that on that one slide we said we disable programs by default. That's what that checkbox does. With that checkbox disabled, which it is now, any deployment or advertisement you have that's migrated over is disabled in ConfigMan 2012. In other words, it'll be created, but it won't be active. If I want to make those active, I either select a checkbox here, or I can individually enable the software update deployment or the program inside Config Manager 2012. I'm just going to go ahead and take the defaults. Next, and then close. We now have a second migration job called collections. Go look at the objects in job, and there's an awful lot of objects here. And then if I see if this guy's running yet, probably is by now. And you see it is running right now. A couple things at the bottom. See those three down at the bottom say skipped. One says object was already migrated. The software updates, that's an update list, I believe. But the North America and main building, those were collections. It says skipped. And if I had more screen, it would say skipped because it's an organizational folder now. So it created a folder for me for those. So that's been brought across. And let's just do a refresh and see how close we are to ending. So I can show you the full. Okay, we're all done. Let me show you those collections got brought across and how they are. Then John will take us to the next step. So here's our device collections. Here's that one collection we brought straight across, Config Manager Clients. So just a straight port of that one collection. Here's the one that had the linked collections inside of it. So it says Migrated Collection, North America, and Sub-Collections. And if I go show you the membership rules for that collection, it shows you the new type of include rule. So we included those two previous sub-collections as direct memberships here, but it's the full collection, not individual computers. That's how we take your full empty folder collection with linked advertisements to it and bring it across. Now let's go see those collection folders. I have to refresh to get the new folders. Now I get the little expander button. And now here's the main building folder with floor one and floor two sub-collections that are now real collections, no more sub-collections. And here's my North America. We saw the collection. Here's the folder. And then here's the two collections that were inside of it. And these two are linked to that migrated collection North America as linked members or now called include members. And then, of course, we brought across everything else that was appropriate. But I won't take the time to show you all that because we had most of that already there. So now we'll kick it back over to John to take us to the next step of our process. Yes, I think that's you.
Okay. How do we prevent scope increase? A concern is, you know, advertisements or collections are created in the Configuration Manager site. Automatically, it would increase in scope. I think Wally kind of covered a lot of this in that demo. So I'll just kind of leave this here, and I'll kind of skip by that. mixed collections, same type of thing. With the mixed collections, again, I talked about this earlier, just to touch on it again. We only migrate user collections or device collections. That's all we have in Configuration Manager 2012. We no longer have the mixed collections, so we won't migrate those. You'll actually get this screen, and it'll say it cannot be migrated, and you'll have to go and kind of clean those collections up and make sure they're migratable at that point. So one of the things you can do today is try to get your collections to user only or device only so that you don't have any problems migrating them over. Okay, other collection scenarios, well, we touched on this one as well. Direct membership collections are migrated as is. Collections which are limited to multiple collections. Collections that have queries that reference an advertisement ID, we'll go ahead and take care of those. And then collections which contain a site code, we give you that mapping, and that was the UI he had shown, but a good example of how you can go and change it. Okay, so should I just migrate all my collections? Definitely a choice that you have to decide. Collections in 2012 are used for more than just deploying, you know, software updates and software distribution. The scope of collections in Configuration Manager 2012 is expanded. Again, we kind of look at collections as a security object as well. Those are the control that an admin has to go do deployments and things of that such. So definitely think about the collections that you have and the way you want to set up your Configuration Manager 2012 environment. You might just not want to blindly migrate everything over. The other types of things that people use collections for today are, you know, segmentation of business. So today you might actually have this really complex collection that's deployment for Office 2007 to finance users on a Tuesday. You won't need that in Configuration Manager 2012. If you go to the session later today on the application model, you can learn how a lot of the complex things you did in collections today to do software distribution or to do software updates can be done through our application model, thus simplifying the types of collections you create. You may drive more towards business unit or department or maybe even location for your collections, and it's less about a collection for a specific deployment. Client agent settings, we talked about that yesterday in the deploy infrastructure setting. You use the collections today to target client agent settings. Before you had primary site, the primary site had all the settings. Today, we can go and do those settings on a granular basis and target those to different users. So again, I want everyone in finance to have some pretty strict power management settings. But you know what? I don't want that on my manufacturing floor. The last thing I want to do is a manufacturing PC to go to sleep when it's trying to produce a product. So think about those types of things when you're creating the collection so you can go and do different inventory, different power, remote control, things like that. And then again, role-based administration. So the collections are a scope or, you know, kind of think of them almost as a security object. And I can have all systems that's available to me, and then I can create a Wally collection that's limited off there that are just the PCs that are users that Wally's going to control. And then I can create a Brian collection for one of my peers so that Brian can just go and control a subset. So it's a great way to carve out from a security standpoint. So again, think about the collections you have today and see which ones are relevant to migrate over. And this is a great chance to even rethink or just kind of clean up the environment and how you use collections. And then again, targeting. Targeting could be anything like, you know, business unit or things like that. Okay, and we talked about preserving that one. So again, don't try to fit the square peg in the round hole. Think about what you want to accomplish and then migrate those over. Again, a little bit of planning will really simplify what you have in Configuration Manager 2012. Shared distribution points, we talked quite a bit about this. Clients can go ahead and retrieve content from other distribution points. So primary scenario is software distribution and software management updates. Again, we want to make it as easy as possible for you guys to migrate so we know that all the content and all the distribution points can't be upgraded right away. We want to make sure that you can go and leverage these content. So any 2012 client reporting up can go ahead and contact an MP. If it has a shared distribution point, it'll get the list of distribution points, and it'll get any object that you migrated. So a shared distribution point naturally is only for things migrated because we need to have that object ID in Configuration Manager 2012. It works for any of the distribution point types. It doesn't matter if it's a branch DP, a server share style DP, or a standard distribution point. It works for all those. And then again, it excludes the app V content and the boot image. Again, we migrate the customization of the boot image. We don't migrate the boot image itself. That actually gets a new object ID. It's due for a few reasons of potential incompatibilities of the wake that you use or just the core client agent bits that are inside the WinPE. And then the app V content, we said we update or migrate or actually convert the app V package into our new application with an app V deployment type. Due to that, the content itself, the ID has changed, so we weren't able to share that out. So how does it kind of work? We migrate the Office 2012 package over, or 2010 packages over. Build out, okay. We deploy Office 2010 to the ConfigMan 2012 clients. So again, it was an active deployment you had in your Configuration Manager 2007 site. Migrated it over. We had some new clients coming up. We're like, hey, we need to make sure they have Office, so we deploy it out. Then the clients will ask the MP for a content location request. The content location request is actually a distribution point that's on the Configuration Manager 2007 side. The clients will go ahead, connect to that distribution point, and download content. Okay, considerations for the shared distribution point. It's not a permanent link between old and new, so it's something to help accelerate your migrations and not have you overinvest in new infrastructure and doing, you know, side-by-side distribution points. So think of it as something to fill the gap when migrating. It can be fragile with the read-only link and the 2012 site system not owning it. There's things that can break along the way, so just understand that it's not a 100% hard thing. It's not a 100% thing because, again, it's not part of Configuration Manager 2012. We're trying to tie in and leverage off some off a different system. It is read-only, so any changes that you make to the 2012 infrastructure won't go and update this. So say you have migrated that Office 2010 package over, and you actually change the content source path and change the hash of the content, we won't go and update those distribution points. But then also at those point, those distribution points won't be used anymore. So you do have to keep those types of things in mind. And then as well, I already said, it's configured and enabled per primary site, and it's all the distribution points at the primary site. So if you are using 2,000 BDPs, understand that all those 2,000 BDPs will become shared distribution points. Okay, kind of our customer goal was, you know, just make it easy for you guys to migrate, reuse everything we can. Spend a lot of time on that slide. Okay, and then DP upgrade now. So we've gone ahead. We've migrated our clients. We now are ready to decommission the site or at least start moving some of the distribution points over. So we want to make sure that we can leverage and reuse that same infrastructure. And most importantly, we want to reuse the content. It's for most of our customers, it was less about, hey, I want to reuse this, you know, role that's already been deployed. It's, hey, I really can't push this half a terabyte of content over this 256K link again. So that was the real goal that we wanted to accomplish when we were doing this. So what we've done is we've actually orchestrated an end-to-end action, and it's initiated from the 2012 console. We do support all server types, so if it's a branch DP, if it's a server share or a standard distribution point, we can go ahead and upgrade that. Just like we can share those distribution points, we can upgrade those distribution points. When we go through the upgrade process, we're only going to upgrade and move the content for packages that we've migrated. What this really means is if you haven't looked at the Configuration Manager 2012 distribution point, we've changed the way we've structured the content on it. We now have what we call the content library, which is a single instance store. So it's a slightly different folder structure than what you've seen in the past. So when we do this upgrade, we not only have to, you know, change the metadata, update some stuff in WMI, we actually have to go and change content on the distribution point. So we need to go and upgrade it into the content library. Additionally, we'll go and do this on secondary sites that have co-located distribution points. So anything that's a distribution point, our goal is to migrate it or upgrade it and preserve that content. So also make sure there's no any kind of additional roles on it. So if you have a secondary site with a distribution point, you're okay. If that's also your software updates point, you'll need to go ahead and remove that. So we're only upgrading distribution points that are just distribution points with the exception of the secondary site. So make sure you decommission any other role because we don't know what that'll do to the impact and we're not gonna go and deinstall a bunch of other roles and potentially harm your environment. So the goal is really to make it easy to upgrade and preserve your content, but we don't wanna get into a weird orchestration problem where we're going to, you know, remove you know, software update points, Pixie service points, and things like that. Okay. As we're looking at the distribution point upgrade, we need to make sure that we are looking at the supported platforms. So we mentioned that we'll migrate the, or upgrade the branch distribution points. Well, a lot of you might still be on Windows XP, haven't gone to Windows 7 yet. Branch distribution point is running on Windows XP. We stated earlier, the distribution point for a client needs to be Vista SP2 and higher. So we need to make sure that we're at the correct operating system level to do that. If you try to go and upgrade an XP system, we'll say we can't upgrade it. So make sure that you've got your minimum operating system requirement in place. Again, for servers, it's server 2003 SP2 or later. Hopefully no one's on anything before that, but if you are, you'll have to make sure that you get to that latest service pack, or if you're still using Windows 2000, get off Windows 2000 and hopefully onto server 2008 R2. As we look at these types of things, we actually go ahead and scan the site server that we'd want to go and upgrade. I said we won't let you upgrade it if it's got a SUP on it or if it's got an SMP on it. We actually tell you the readiness in the console if it's eligible for upgrade. So if you actually have a distribution point that's also your state migration point, you know, it makes sense. You're doing OSD, you have limited infrastructure, you want those two to coexist. We won't be able to upgrade it until you remove that state migration point. You know, another reason for that is maybe you have data on there and it hasn't completely been restored. We don't want to ruin that data, and then you won't be able to get it back. So those types of things are displayed for you on the console, showing you that complete readiness from within the UI. And then on secondary sites, nothing is blocked, so just keep that in mind as well. With that being said, Wally's going to actually show you how it's all done.
All righty. Thank you, John. Oops, I'm not on yet. There I go. Okay. I'm now on. All righty. So one thing we need to do before we're going to do our upgrade of our distribution point is let's go and go back to our source hierarchy and distribution points. And first thing is this hosted migrated packages. You can see it's blank right now. It's zero. We want to go ahead and update that process. So to do that, we're going to kick off another data gathering process. And what this will do for us is it's going to then update and tell us how many hosted packages we have on those shared DPs. What we do is, John was talking about this upgrade process, we actually convert the content that was hosted over to the content library. So now you can see that the two DPs have 5 and 7 hosted packages appropriately or respectively. And you see that middle column there, eligible for upgrade. As John mentioned, you can only upgrade DPs if they're standalone DPs outside of the secondary site scenario. In this case, my top DP is a standalone DP, so it can be upgraded. The bottom DP is my site server, is the DP on the site server, so it's got other roles, obviously, so it can't be upgraded. And then you have to have enough disk space. And you can see we have theoretically plenty of disk space for this. So I'm going to go ahead and take my, I'm going to go to my primary site server just so I don't have to wait for SQL replication to occur. Let's go down to primary site server right here. I'll go to the same node. And I'll go to my source hierarchy. And I'm going to take this distribution point, which is my eligible one for upgrade. I'll go to the ribbon. I'll click upgrade. First thing we ask you for is which site do you want this DP to be associated with? The reason for that is that you're going to be uninstalling a site system from one old site and adding it as a DP into a new configuration in 2012. So which site server do you want to attach this distribution point to? So you can attach it to a primary site or a secondary site. Central administration sites don't support DP, so you can't use that. So I'm going to go ahead and say I want my primary site one, which is the image I have. You notice on the bottom you can specify the account to use. My ConfigMan 2012 site server is not a valid account, computer account, to access this box because this DP is in a different forest. So I can't use that. I've got to use a different account credential. So I'll go ahead and specify a new account to use. And I'm just going to go ahead and use the same account, SMS domain administrator. Password is password, my super secret password. I want to verify that that account will work as an admin account. So I'll go to the distribution point. It's called member. And I'll go to admin $share. Verify I can connect there as an admin. I can. So that account's good. So I'll use that account. Then the rest of this is really just the wizard for installing a DP. We require IIS. So you have this checkbox that says, hey, configuration manager, you install IIS for me. So you install it. So I don't have to install and configure it. And John, who used to own DPs, did a great job with that. I'll leave all the rest of the defaults here for HTTPS and self-signed cert and not supporting pre-staging. Drive, configuration. By default, we're going to go ahead and use automatically pick the drive we want to use, but you can go ahead and here and specify for your two drives. I want to use drive C for the first drive, and I want to use drive E for the secondary drive. So you don't have to use that no SMS on drive.sms file anymore, because you can designate the drive you want to use. In my case, I'll just use automatic. And we're down to under a minute, so I got to get cruising. I'm not going to enable Pixie here, but as John mentioned, Pixie is now part of your distribution point role if your OS supports it. Content validation, we can go out there and validate your hashes and signatures and your content on a scheduled basis in case any of your admins go out there and corrupt things. I want to make this DP available to my 2012 clients, so I'll put it in the appropriate boundary group for content location. And the last thing is content conversion. So here's the content that was hosted and migrated over that we want to convert over to the content library. At the very bottom, we tell you how much disk space is required to do this. To show you that we're taking 3.2 megabytes now, so you need a little over twice that. We keep your old package share intact, and we convert things over to the content library. So roughly twice the disk space. Once you do the conversion, you can go clean up your old package share if you no longer need it. So I'll go ahead and click next, next, and close, and we'll get our DP upgrade process happening. So any second now, this will change to say upgrading distribution point. And what we do is we go out there, we uninstall the 2007 distribution point and come back and then install IIS and then install it as a configuration manager 2012 distribution point and convert the content over. And it's still waiting to kick off that process. But we are over time, so hopefully I have no good slides I have to show you. Secondary sites, we do the same thing. We just uninstall the secondary site. We pause until your next data gathering process so that we can identify that the secondary site's been successfully removed. Then we go ahead and do our DP upgrade process. And content conversion, we convert most of the content over with the exception of your boot images. And that is not converted over, as John mentioned. So considerations, John hit all of this stuff. But since we're over time, I'm going to go ahead and cruise through all these things. You're not going to have time to get everything else there, guys. Roaming clients, basically clients roam to their own site and they use the same versions. Client upgrades, big thing there. Upgrade your clients however you want to. Whatever method you want to use to install your clients, you can use for upgrading your clients. So the same methods work in 2012 as they worked in 2007. And then we'll retain your advertisement history and your GUID so clients don't rerun things. Big consideration at the bottom is make sure you have .NET 3.0 or later pre-deployed in your clients. If you don't have, then we install .NET 4.0, which takes about 15 minutes to install and requires a reboot before it's active. So make sure you get that pre-deployed so by the time you do your upgrade of your clients, it's all there and you've done your installation of .NET and reboot, so you're all cool, ready to roll. And so recap the best practices, we had a bunch of them. So they were good best practices. You have to get the slides because we're way over time. They're going to kick us out of here. So we have basically only a couple more sessions to go. We have the app management session later on today, and then John's doing the client management scenario tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow at 1.
Tomorrow at 1. Then tomorrow late afternoon, Mark and I are doing the patch and settings management session. This also is a hands-on lab, self-paced lab. You can go over to the self-paced lab room and the migration labs there. I also have one more instance of the workshop where you'll do an end-to-end of the migration process, including DP upgrades, and that's Friday morning at 10:15. But if you want to go there, come early because it filled up on Tuesday when I did that. So with that, thank you all for attending. Thanks for hanging in there late for us, and have a great rest of your week.